Holy.
Parts of Vayechi. Okay. Looking at the brachot that
Naphtali.
Yaakov gives his sons. And look at the pasuk of Naphtali Ayala Shlucha. Now, Tein Imre Shefer, which our scroll translates as enough. Naphtali is a hind let loose. And no one uses the word hind, but it's a kind of deer. Let loose, who delivers beautiful sayings. Okay, and I like that because it treats the difference between pshat and mashmaut. Pshat doesn't mean the literal meaning, okay? Right?
Right.
When we read this pasuk, we are not saying that Yaakov sees Naphtali as a deer, right? But pshat is the meaning, I put it, the meaning that a careful reader who knows about poetics and rhetoric would understand. Just without the Torah Shebaal Peh side of it, which is what Drash adds to that. If we miss that, if we assume that the pshat is the literal meaning, we need end up with a needed diamond. Do you ever read the Red Tent?
Yes.
You remember the Red Tent?
Some pieces.
Okay, I like the first though half of the book, maybe two-thirds is really good, and that kind of falls apart. But in a reading, in the end, she reads Yaakov as senile.
As what? Oh, senile.
Senile. He's demented, right? He's talking about Yosef tells Dinah, first he didn't know me. He named my brothers in turn, blessing and cursing them, turning them to animals, right? He's actually seeing them as animals, as he's saying.
Oh.
He's taking the whole brachot as literally. Well, obviously he's demented if he's talking, calling Naphtali a deer, right? How hard to grow old like that, I pray a day comes when I do not die before the day comes when I not know if my sons are infants or grandfathers. Okay. That's the red tent. That's not the way to read the pasuk. Read the pasuk as a metaphor.
Right.
The question is, what is it being metaphoric about? Okay, and we get technically that's called the tenor. And we pull this over here. Now we have the metaphor as two parts, the tenor and the vehicle. Seems to be the way one talks about that. That the tenor is the thing being described, and the vehicle is the object whose attributes are borrowed. So the ayala is the vehicle. Excuse me. And the question is, what's the tenor? In all the world's a stage. The stage is the vehicle. The world is the tenor. Shakespeare's experience about that. And in Hebrew, the mashal is what we're calling the vehicle, the way you're presenting the metaphor. And the nimshal is what's being represented. I want to call them, it's the metaphor and the metaphee. And that only makes sense. But no one ever listened to me. So we're stuck with these other terms that nobody knows. Okay, so what's the metaphee of Ayala Shulcha? That which is being metaphized. Okay, so Rashi gives us a couple of possibilities. Where's Rashi? Ayala Shulcha, Zu Bikat Ginosar, this is the Kinneret Valley. She Kalala Labashel Perotel, the fruits all ripen early. That's the most fruitful part of Eretz Yisrael. That's where the fruits ripen. Kayala shehi kalal rachutz, like the deer, I guess you would translate ibis, running loose. It's running free. And then hanotei imre shefer, which he just says is katargumo, brings forth beautiful sayings. And the targum on that is, as Rashi tells
That's
us,
Shapiro. That's the root of Shapiro,
what?
Shefer. The word
Oh, that's right.
Shefer.
You're right. Shapiro. Oh, so Shapiro means beautiful. Very good. Naphtali, Ba'arat Tava, Yitrimei Avdei, that Naphtali will serve God in a beautiful land, in a good land. Bachsan Tame Abda Perin, and his inheritance will bring forth fruit. Yehon Modan, Vuvarchan Alayon, and everyone acknowledge them and bless God over them. That's the Notein Imre Shefer. Again, Ayala Shulcha is a metaphor for the fruits of the Ginosar Valley.
That's Targum Unculus?
That's Unculus.
That's hardly a Targum. I mean,
Mean,
it's not a translation.
he is translating the metaphor.
Yeah, but he should write what the metaphor is and let people decide what it means. I mean,
Oh, wait. You're telling Unculus how he should write his Targum? I guess
yeah.
you are. But, you can go ahead and.
I think that's odd.
He will do that. So through all this parsha, Unkelus does that explicitly. He
Oh.
unwinds the metaphor, and you're always allowed to not like that, but it's what he's what's Rashi, it's what he is doing. It's like you can write your own Targum. Sorry. I need to find the source of this passage that I've managed to not write in here.
But he's like changing Yaakov's, Yaakov is giving us a metaphor, and Unkelus is like, I think that's odd.
Well, you can certainly write your own translation. All right, every translation is interpretation. Unkelus has felt it appropriate to give us the metaphys simply and straight. This is a, right. Then this is Unkelus. You can certainly disagree and read it other ways.
Okay, so what did he say it meant?
What, Unkelus?
Yeah.
We've read that, right? Unkelus is taking this as a metaphor for the good land. That it produces fruits quickly, like the deer is running quickly, and people will say brachot about them and will praise God for them. That's a notain reshefer. That's Rashi's first possible.
Okay.
The other way is reading it about the world war with Sisra, Devorah. Devorah is from Naphtali. And Barak is from the tribe of Naphtali. And he quotes the positive, Chakti, Batikra, the Barak, and Abinam, Mikedesh, Naphtali, Batomre, Love, Hosiva Shemok Israel, Lechu, Mashachta, Bar Devorah. Devorah tells Barak, go and go. Invest the mountain of Tavor, and you'll fight the Sisra there. And you'll take 10,000 of men from Naphtali. You'll be the hero of that battle. That's the Eilat Shulcha of Naphtali, Imre Sefer, who brings forth beautiful sayings. And that, of course, is
Oh,
Al
Shirat
Yadam
Devorah.
Devorah Barak Shira. That's Shirat Devorah. Okay, so there are two different Nimshalim, two different tenors. Metaphys of this, the way Rashi has put it. Okay, the land of Israel or the history. And that reflects this twofold nature of Birchat Yaakov in the Parsha. Through all of these, right? That Yehuda is a lion, Binyamin is a wolf, and all of that, both the vision of the land of Israel and a vision of the people of Israel, the history of Israel.
So Naphtali got the area near the Kinneret.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. And so we have these kind of two different ways of reading that metaphor as being about land and people. And that it's interesting how that, what I call that, the hermeneutic dynamic, the way we interpret the metaphors and that play out through the whole parsha. And you can look at all of them that way. But people wanted to talk about Esav's head. This came from the Chumash Shiur last week, where we talked about Yaakov buying the Mara Machpelah from the share from Esav. Then we brought up the Medrash that Esav, they still fought about Esav's head and end up in Mara Machpelah. And people wanted me to talk about that. So I'm going to talk about that. Okay?
Okay.
Because that's Rashi's third possibility. Rashi's third interpretation of the metaphor is Darshuhu, right? Like the previous was Pshat. Remember that. That's reading it as a metaphor. This is Drash Al Yom Kuvrat Yaakov. That this is about the day that Yaakov was buried, end of this week's parsha. Yaakov dies, he is embalmed, turned into a mummy, and then they bring him back to Eretz Canaan, bury him in Mara Machpelah. Kshi'ira Esav al Ma'ara, when Esav argued with him about Mara Machpelah and place in the cave, and the Gemara Masechet Sota. So Rashi's wording here, the way he's putting it, is that he doesn't want to talk about it either. Right, he's got his opinions, and okay, he's going to mention that Rabbanan were darshanit about this, but he's not going to talk about Naphtali at all here. Just you can look that up in Gemara in Sota. So I want to look at the Gemara in Sota. Okay, the Gemara takes the pasuk much more literally, saying that Naphtali was literally a fast runner, and this is the Gemara presentation of that story. So the entire procession goes actually through Jordan. They have a big morning there, and then they go across the Jordan into Hebron. And when they get to the Marah Machpelah, Ata Esav Kama Akev. Esav came and started arguing, trying to stop them. Amar Lahen, he tells them, the Pasuk, right, this is Mamre Kiryat Ha'arba, this is the city of the four, Hebron, which is Hebron, this is where we are. Amar Yisra Kiryat Abba was because of Arba Zugotai. There were four pairs of burial places in this cave. Adam v'Chava, those are taken. Avram v'Sara, those are taken. Yitzhak v'Rivka, those are taken. Yaakov v'Leah is what we know are in there. But Esav says, "Ihu kavra l'Leah b'didei," right? You already buried Leah. You said that in the beginning of the parasha that you buried Leah in Marah Machpelah. But hide the fayish, the one that's left, didihu, that belongs to me. Esav says, right? We're both the sons of Yitzchak. Each of us get one burial place in this cave. Amrulay, so they say back to him, Zivinta, wait, you sold it. You gave up your share in this burial place. Amrulahusi says back to them, oh, you're talking about that whole selling birthright for a mess of pottage thing? I sold my birthright. But pshituta, but the idea that I'm still a legitimate heir, I mean, I get the double portion, however you want to add that up. I'm still a legitimate heir, so the stem inheritance I should still get. Mizabni, did I sell it? I'm really in. So he told him, the Yaakov's sons told Esav, yeah, you sold it. Tichsiv, as it said when Yaakov's describing this, b'kivriyat in this tomb that I have kiviti, which generally is interpreted as I dug for myself in Canaan, but Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak in Kira Ela Nelashim Mechira that I bought. Yaakov says I bought this place. Shekein B'Chichrayam Korin LeMechira Kira. Gemara says that in the dialect of the Kichrayam, the seaside areas, they call Mechira Kira. So Kira means selling. So Yaakov claims to have bought this kever for himself. And that word of lichrot, meaning to buy, appears once the other time in Tanakh when Hosea talks about acquiring a prostitute for a wife. It's ve'echra li b'chamisha asar kesef. They bought her for 15 silver. So the word's there. And so we talked last time about what that meant, to that Yaakov claims to have bought the land of Marah Machpelah. And we talked about when they're all coming down to Eretz Canaan, that when Yaakov finds out that Yosef was still alive, he comes down, he goes to Beersheba, and there, Vayechud Asher Rachshu Be'eretz Kanaan. They took with them to Egypt their cattle and all of the property they had acquired in Canaan. And Rashi says, Abal Masha Rachshu Padan Aram, but all the money he had made back in Laban's place in Padan Aram, they brought with him to Canaan, Natana Kol Esav B'Shvil Chelko Marat HaMachpelah. Later said, Yaakov
Oh, yeah.
used that, bought the land. Okay. So, why is this? Yeah.
So, what's Asaph's claim to it? Is that the question
So Esav
now?
is claiming, I didn't sell it. And they say, yeah, you did.
You
So,
did.
Amar, look, you did. It's not, and I'm not talking about the selling the birthright to the Nesset Pottage. That was a
Right.
long time ago. That's an account. We're talking about a legal sale. He gave you, Yaakov gave you money. You said, fine, I give up my, I wrote a quit claim deed to that share of Marah Machpelah. So Amar Lehu, this is Gemara going back, continuing the story. Esav said, igrita. Show me the letter. Show me the proof that I sold it. Amar Lehu, so they told him, igrita ba'ard mistrayim hi. Well, we left all the papers back home in Egypt. I don't have any, I don't have any. So I mean, obviously they knew they were going there. They should have brought the papers with them, but it's like not to have the right papers. They send you home from the office and you have to come back a different day. So, man nazal. So they're thinking, who can we send back to Egypt, right? Hebron back to Memphis in Egypt, main city there. Nizil Naphtali.
Naftali?
We're going to send, now
Oh.
here we're getting Naphtali, right? The Kali Lake Ki Ayalab. But he's as fast as a deer. He can run.
Oh.
Okay, so we're going to stand here. We're going to wait. Naphtali, you can run. You'll run the distance back to Egypt. See if it says Naphtali. Naphtali is a hind let loose who brings forth Imre Shefer, good word, beautiful words. Amar Rabbahu, al tikra Imre Shefer, don't read beautiful words. Elra Imre Sefer, words that are written in the book. Rashi brings up another point that in the Gemara, Shippur, as applied to a document, does, as a technical term, the halacha doesn't mean beautiful, it means corroborated.
Oh.
Okay? That's how you make a document beautiful, is by proving it's true. So, Imre Shefer, corroborating words. We're going to prove the point that this was sold. So, what happened next? Gemara continues. Here's the Agada. Kushim bereidah dan taman
Where are
ha.
we? Where are you
Oh,
reading?
sorry.
Put the
Here we go. Second,
cursor.
next paragraph. Okay,
Oh, okay.
they sent Naphtali down back to Egypt to get the documentation for the Marmakadah. So Hushim, who's the son of Dan, Dan has one son named Hushim, Taman Haba, he was there. Bikurin le Udne, and his ears were heavy. He was hard of hearing. Amar Lahu, so he says to them, so he is, I mean, he came down with Amida, so he's at least 17 years old at this point, so he's not a little kid. But he says to them, as they're waiting around for the funeral, continue. Amrulahu Maihai. What's going on? What is this? Amrulay, so the brothers all tell him, Kama'akev hai, we're waiting here. Ad ati Naphtalim Arad Mitzrayim, until Naphtali comes from Egypt with the documentation so we can bury grandpa in Maamar Machpelah. Amrulahu. And he says to them, "Ad ati Naftali ma'ar deMitzrayim," and until Naftali comes back from Egypt, "Ye avi abba mutal beBizayon," that I'm gonna let Grandpa sit here in shame, just sitting out in the sun. I mean, he's a mummy; it's not gonna rot, but still, it's not. It's a
So when we
Bizayon.
say Esav, who do we mean when we say Esav? He's not still alive.
He is still alive,
Esav is still alive
right?
after Egypt.
After they go down to Egypt, I mean, this is Yaakov has just passed away, his twin brother. So Esav is an old man, but he's still alive. This is not like when they're coming back from Egypt after 210 years.
Oh,
This
that's
is
Yosef they brought back.
this is
Oh,
Yaakov.
Yaakov,
Yaakov lives in Egypt for 17 years. He died. They're all coming back. So this is literally the brothers, literally Yosef, literally Hushim the son. This is not the descendant.
Yeah,
Worry
okay.
about it. What the brothers are talking to their uncle Esav, who says, "No, this is my plot." Yaakov
This is
took
Dan. No, this is Dan's son
Dan's
saying
son,
this.
Hushim.
Okay.
Okay, so he's saying this is an insult. So Shakal Klupa, he grabbed a club, Mechaye Reshe, and whacked it into Esav's head. Nitran Enei. Hit him so hard that Esav's eyes popped out. Benaflu achra di Yaakov, and fell into Yaakov's feet.
Oh,
That's
God.
nice and bloody here. P'tichin hu Yaakov le'enei. At that moment, Yaakov's eyes opened. Achiach, he smiled. I should try to smile grimly. Okay. And that's what the Pasuk Tehillim says. Yismach tzadik yitchazat nakam, that the Tzaddik will rejoice when he sees vengeance. His feet will bathe in the blood of the evil one. So very violent. So Esav is die. Yeah. So Hushim kills Esav rather than wait for Naphtali to come back.
Who killed him? His
Hushim,
nephew.
right? His nephew, right? His grandnephew.
Kushim, correct?
Hushim, the son of Dan.
Oh, I thought the son, Dan's son was.
Yeah, this Hushim was the one, he's the one hard of hearing, who doesn't know what all the negotiation was. So they eventually,
Wait, I thought the name was. Oh, Kushim.
Hushim is his name.
Oh.
Raid the Dan, the
Oh.
son of Dan.
And what is that word, Taman?
Taman Hava, there, he was there. Hava Taman, he was there.
Oh, I thought his name was Taman. Okay.
Okay,
Okay,
he
so
was there.
Hushim, what it says he killed Esav, he just
Yes.
popped his eyes.
No, he's dead.
He killed Esav.
He kills his great uncle because he doesn't get why we're waiting for the papers to come back.
And then the eyes fall out, and Yaakov, who's dead, sees them, and he's
Has his eyes
happy
open.
that his
Right.
brother was killed.
That is the better set. I'm not going to get into how we understand this agadata. What does that
Okay.
mean? Okay. But
Okay.
I'm just reading the words here. Okay, I can
And
read
this
the words.
is, yes, and this is Naphtali. We know he ran back and he,
Right.
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We're bringing this because Rashi points us in the direction. If you want to know
Okay.
what about, we tell you Naphtali running fast.
Right.
Bozesha. In that moment, Nekaima nuvatasha Rivka. Now, Rivka's vision came true. See, when she
Okay.
says, Lama eshkol gam shnechem yom echad. Why should I
Oh.
lose both of you on the same day? After gab de mitatan lo b'yom echad habay. They didn't die on the same day because Yaakov had died long before because he was embalmed and he was mourned. This is 70 days after his death. Kavru miha b'yom echad habay. They were buried on the same day.
And where's Asaph buried? Right somewhere
That's
else.
a
So,
good question. It doesn't say that here.
okay, but not in Marat HaMachpelah.
How did I end up with them? Oh, I ended up with two copies of the same thing. Let me edit this out. Sorry. We haven't gotten to the. No, it's just one here. That's weird.
So if someone asked you who killed, how did Esav die, you would say.
Well, we have a Gemara God that says he was killed by Hushim.
Okay.
Okay. And doesn't say anything about Esav's head. Everyone knows about Esav's head. You know about Esav's head?
No.
Okay. There's a chamber in Maror Machpelah. Ever been to Hebron? I've never been there.
No.
But evidently, there's chambers for Avram and Sarah. There's a chamber for Yisro and Yaakov, and there's a chamber called the Tomb of Esav's Head.
Oh.
Placed there. Now, that idea that what's left in the in Maror Machpelah is just Esav's head is buried there, comes from somewhere. Again, because everyone in the Chumash knew about this and was asking about this, but the somewhere actually was from Muslim mythology, legends. Okay, it's not, as far as I can tell, the oldest source is not actually Jewish. Okay, this is from the source in the Chevron.org site talking about Maror Machpelah. The Tomb of Machpelah is arguably the oldest still standing structure in the world being used for the same purpose for which it was built. However, even ancient structures have received additions and renovations. One of these is an area which is called the Tomb of Joseph by the Muslims, and well be the Tomb of Esau's head. Extra thing, that's what it says there. Maybe an extra room constructed during the post-Crusader era, is probably when it was actually built. The tradition that Jacob's twin brother Esav, or at least his head, is buried in Hebron, has a source in the Medrash. We'll look at one of them, is quoted by a Muslim historian. And that if you look over there's a Hebrew text in the Medrash explaining the story. But this is the Muslim source that I got from some book that's actually online, wherever he is. Okay, so 12th century. The sons of Jacob met together and also Esav his brethren, and they said, let us leave the entrance of the cavern open so that any die he may bury therein. Afterwards, a dispute rose among them, and that one of the brothers of Esav, or some say one of the sons of Jacob, so this is they're very different from the Gemara, a little bit different, raised his hand and struck Esav a blow that caused his head to fall off, and it rolled into the cave. So now get the head, not the eyes. And they carried away his body and buried it without the head, for the head remained within the cave. So somehow Esav's head is somewhere in the Maror Machpelah. I found one mention of Esav's head in a Jewish midrashic source, which is called the Sefer Yashar, which is an interesting source because it's basically a midrash says. It's a story written as a continuous narrative. It was first published in the 1600s. It's clearly older than that because Ramban mentions it. But he questions it. He's not sure whether to take anything that Sefer Yashar says seriously. And this is Ramban and a different on a different story impression. And he mentions specifically Im Na'amin b'Sefer Melachot b'Yaakov, Im Na'amin b'Sefer Melachot b'Yaakov, who Sefer Yashar. And he says, well, if we believe what it says in this book about all the wars of the sons of Jacob, then we can take it serious. So we take this for what it is in fact a written source that you find on the internet, which gives it authority, right? We believe everything we see on the internet, right? Okay, so here's our source. Hushim Maya Ilam. Hushim was Midaber Vachersh Mishmoa. Ilam was deaf and dumb. Hushim rather was deaf and dumb. Okay, and but so he didn't know what was going on, so they eventually explained to the sign to explain what's going on. So he got really angry when he found out what was going on. So he ran and took a sword. He ran toward Esav in the midst of all of this battle. They cut his head off. But and it rolled far away. By a pole, Esav betochan shem machan, Esav died. Nothing about the head being buried there. So we've
And
got a
nothing
story
about
here.
Naphtali.
And this, well, within the story here, this does happen. I didn't take that part in there.
Oh.
So the Sefer Yeshayahu does bring the story with Naphtali as well. So the question is, where do you get
Oh.
the head of Esav being in the Marna Machpelah?
Right.
It's kind of unclear to me. And I'll give you a spoiler warning, I'm not going to touch it. But lots of contemporary commentators, as Shmuel Evitz and Sefer Musar, the Lord Drevi, talk about that idea of, again, taking Midrashim seriously. And what's the lesson of the head being burned in Machpelah and treating it homiletically, but ideas that, Esav had the intellectual ability to serve Hashem, but just didn't do it. So the only thing that warranted being buried there was his head, not his body. Kind of message of that. But what am I going to do that? Or better, I'm going to ask, what does Rashi want me to do with that? Okay? Because Rashi doesn't bring this mention of the Drash as part of the story of burying Yaakov. He buries it when he's interpreting the bracha of Naphtali.
But we have two versions. One is the eyes and one is the
Right.
head.
I'm
They're
not going to touch
different.
either one of those. Right, I
Okay.
have a Gemara which I'm going to take as sort of the authority. This is the canonical story is the eyes. We have extra canonical sources which is the head. Either way, Rashi doesn't touch that, and that's what I want. What does Rashi want me to learn from this? Rashi brings this only in the context of Naphtali's a fast runner, and we knew that because he ran to get to when Esav was arguing. He doesn't mention anything about Hushim anywhere.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to look sort of Rashi. What is Rashi? Rashi's bringing this to teach us something. That's Rashi's point, right?
But
This is
Rashi referred us to the Gemara that
Gemara,
did talk
right?
about it. Okay.
But I'm saying that Rashi's pulling out of that Gemara is Naphtali was the fast runner. Okay, and the way Rashi puts it, talking about his mission, this is back in the beginning of Bereshit, right? Vanilo bati ela pshuto shel mikra. I am coming here to tell you what the pshat, unadorned meaning of the text is. Lagada and bring the gadot hamishevet divrei mikra, that will help you settle the words of the Torah. This is what I want you to learn. Devar devor alofanav, setting everything on its appropriate place.
Okay.
I'm going to bring agadot that have a lesson that I think are important for you to know. Right? These are this when I want when Rashi's commentary is there to be the one commentary you're going to learn if you're only going to learn one. We get pshat and the appropriate guide to that I can teach you something
And
that will let you interpret.
he's the pshat of what it means that Naphtali was a like a Ayal.
Right. So he
Right?
get that. That was
He's
the first two
trying to,
parts. It's a meta, right, the metaphor there that
Right.
clearly in the context of Brachot is talking about Eretz Yisrael, history of Bnei Yisrael. But in terms of the drash, I'm going to bring you a guide to that. I can mention that. So I'm
Okay.
going to end with a thought about what does it mean to say he was a fast. What does that symbolize? That's right. So Hirsch looks at these Brachot. That each of the brachot represent each tribe's unique strength that came together to create Bnei Israel as a whole. Each symbolizes some way that we serve Hashem. Okay, and Naphtali is an ayilas shlucha. He's sent, right? He runs fast, but he's on a mission. The way he puts it is, "What entrusts Naphtali to do, he will speedily carry out." Naphtali does not act as an initiative, not self-productive. Others have decided for the benefit of the community. Quickly adopts and quickly carries out. That is
That's a good
huge.
quality.
I'm saying that is a quality. That's what he's seeing is that Ayala Shulchan
Yeah.
get things done. Not everybody is the leader. Things that need to happen is going to get done. Neither for deed nor thought is Naphtali written. But he knows how to adopt the thoughts of others happily for both deed and speech, knows how to carry them out speedily and present them beautifully. That's Imre Schiff. Comes out beautiful. He'll do the job right. Right? He's shlucha, sent on a mission. And
He's
that's hard to
Mercury,
say.
you know, Mercury in
The
Greek.
messenger of the gods.
Yeah. And the
Yeah.
fleet of foot.
That's true. That's a different literary character than Torah, but the idea is the same. Okay. So we're going to deal with hermeneutics, right? Meaning from Hermes, right? And so that's not Naphtali sort of represents the idea of having a job and doing it, which is a concept of
Quickly,
which is
doing it
called
quickly.
zerizut.
Yeah.
Get that as in we if you learn Masil Yesharim, which I'm learning with Leah, for the path of the just, where he has all these steps toward becoming the perfect Jew. The second step is zerizut. First is zerizut, mindfulness. Second is zerizut, which is eagerness of not being lazy. And you know, zerizut that we explain zerizut. That's the beginning of the doing a mitzvah, for getting things done. But show us that from the Bachak, as I said, zarizing makdimim mitzvah. If you zariz, you get the mitzvah done. Close to that bar, and to sum it up, chizuk gadol tzarich adam. You have to be really strong. Yitchazek litgaber bizrizut latzot mitzvot. To actually do mitzvot. Bach halshlicho me'alav kovet ha'asala. Getting rid of this weight of laziness. It's always possible to push things off. Okay? And Charlie represents that. Okay? Don't hit the snooze button. It's really easy to hit the snooze button. Okay? Machavevet al yado, because the atzala, that laziness is what keeps us from getting anything done. And that's when the Mishnah says, right? Could have been Tema Omer perfect vote. Have a az can Omer be as strong as a leopard. Kal can esher, light as an eagle. Ratz can be fast as a deer.
That's it.
That's it right there. That's Ayala Shulchan. Borkar is strong as a lion. Tasut Rosh Hashanah. And Ratz can be as the Bartira says. Yedof achar mitzvot. Do the mitzvot. Okay. And we'll add a subtle point about the Agada that Naphtali actually fails.
Oh.
Right? He doesn't get back in time. He runs to
Oh.
get it, but in the meantime, he knows how they gotta end. It doesn't end up with Esav says, ah, you're right, it's been solved.
Right.
He ends up losing his head. Because Hushim just jumps in there and whacks his head off. I'm not gonna judge which one was right. Should have waited. Okay. But still, right? He has a good job, he does it. You do it even if you don't know you're gonna succeed. And that's the message of Naphtali Ayala Shluchah. I think that's the message of the Agadata. That there are things that got to be done. You got to do it. Have the reason. Do what needs to be done.
That's a great point. He didn't succeed. He wasn't fast enough.
Right.
He tried,
That's
but
not it. You still got to try.
you still got to try with Zerizut.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I will stop here.
So, before you'd prepared for this one, you knew about this guy. What was his
Which guy?
name? Jershum?
Who? The Hushim?
Danson,
Hushim.
Horsham.
Yeah, I know the Gemara there.
If you ask very learned people how did Esav die, they would know.
They would know. Yeah, like I said, the Chumash class, most of the people there asked about this, you know, when he said he sold them. Like, wait, what, you didn't Esav fight and you end up with. And because I mean, because there really is a chamber in
Oh.
Hebron called the Chamber of Esav's Head, which I don't think has a head in there. I don't think any of these. Least it has a story written.
Wow, Hushim. Huh.
Yeah. So why
Okay.
Hushim? Now
And
where in the
Naphtali, he's like just a really positive guy. He runs, he
run,
goes, he
right? We got
goes.
to go. So we're going to go. Just do it.
Let's do it. I think his symbol, you know, in the Shvatim, like,
Is the deer,
I think
right?
it's a deer,
Yeah,
no?
yeah, 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 yeah. For exactly from this, that's it's from Yaakov's bracha. He's Ayala.
Yalla.
And Ayala.
All right, so wait, let me just review. So that's one that he ran to Egypt to get the contract. And the other one is that it's Barak.
Right.
And there was another one.
Right. It's
Wait.
the remember the two
Oh.
metaphoric are the land of Israel and the people of Israel.
All right, that the fruit is quick to
Ripens quickly.
ripen in that part
Correct.
of Israel. It's
Right. It's the fruitfulness
that's
of
a
Israel.
little that's yeah. Okay. Very
Okay.
good.
Okay,
I
so
did.
if you're
I'm going
so
to
please
start
in the
asking
future,
people.
if the and if the question comes up, it's called the metaphy, that which had been
Metaphy.
metaphorized.
A metaphy.
Right, there's metaphor in the metaphy.
Yeah. That fits mashal and nimshel,
Right,
the root
exactly. That's
word
what that's my word.
yeah.
I definitely think so.
Metaphor, metaphy.
There you go. So if
Okay.
everybody's used, eventually that'll end up being a real English word.
Yeah, I'll start using it. You use
Thank you.
it. We'll each get one other person, okay?
There you go. Okay,
Okay.
well, have a good night, and I'll see what Davida is up
Yeah,
to.
write
Thank you for
me
joining me.
if you figure out what we should do now in the war, write it to me. okay, have a good Shabbos.
Right. Have a good Shabbos. Bye-bye.